my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey, whoa.
For you. Good morning. Remember Runaround Sue? Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for being with us here. It's Tuesday, August the 10th. Wow. Flying by here in the summer. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Weifang Zong of the Mercatus Center. That's at George Mason University, by the way. And we're going to talk about what he calls the woeful unpreparedness of our federal agencies against cyber attacks. You'd think we'd be ready. You'd think we've learned our lesson. Maybe not. We'll find out. And remember Dominion and the voting machines and all that? Well, the Dominion voting machine company is suing One America News and Newsmax for defamation. And they're seeking billions of dollars. Billions. So we're going to get thoughts on this and their litigation from the proprietor of the barber pole. Remember, he thinks there was some phony baloney going on with that election. So we'll talk with him, Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, a little bit later in the show about that. And the governor of Oregon has quietly signed a bill that drops, listen to this, math, reading, and writing as proficiency requirements to get out of high school. Can you believe it? We're going to tell you about it. I can't believe it. The entire damn state. Don't go to Oregon. They're stupid. And also, we got a good top 10. Remember when you were a kid, maybe you still do it, you played a lot of board games with your friends? I do. I certainly remember that. Now I guess everybody's online. But the top 10 best board games, I mean the ones where you sat face to face with people, the best board games of all time. All right. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. That's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. And that is located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Guys, your hair grows faster in the summer, right? Ed, did you get your hair cut? Ed didn't get his hair cut. I thought you might have, Ed, because you took off your Bucks hat.
Probably going to do it Thursday.
Okay. I got to get one, too. And we're both going to go to Andrew's because we know it's the best place. Great haircut, great price. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call them first, 727-733-3773. And by the way, good morning, Clearwater. Isn't that the best show to listen to in the mornings, 8 to 10 a.m.? We think so. Monday through Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day. Nothing better than listening to them as you get ready for work or you get out of bed or whatever you do in the morning. Good morning, Clearwater. All right. So this thing with Dominion, the voting machine company, they have decided today. Well, not decided today. Today they have sued two networks, both of them conservative networks, both relatively new. They're like rivals for Fox. They are One America News Network and Newsmax. Ed, I don't know if you ever watch either one of those. I don't think I can get it on Spectrum, so I'm out.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
One America, my dad watches that religiously.
Oh, he does, okay.
So when I go to see him, I get a dose of that.
You get an earful.
It's just another Fox, but basically they're completely on the right. I mean,
they're even further right.
They don't want anybody else's opinion when you get on there.
Well, you know, our buddy Andrew listens to them religiously. Yeah. And anyway, they're being sued along with Newsmax by Dominion.
Weren't they suing Giuliani, too?
They might be. Listen to this. They are actually filing three different suits. seeking more than $1.6 billion in damages from each of them. They accused the two networks of defaming them and defaming their products by falsely saying that their machines switched the votes from Trump to Biden. They also said that the guy that runs Overstock.com, you've heard of them, right? Overstock guy's name is David Byrne. He's a big Trump guy. They're suing him, too. So they said Byrne repeatedly alleged that Dominion rigged voting tallies to steal the election. Here's what they also said. They said Newsmax helped create, cultivate an alternative reality where up is down, pigs have wings, and Dominion engaged in a colossal fraud to steal the presidency from Donald Trump.
Meanwhile, CNN can make up all the stories they want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, CNN, see, that's different. You don't understand how things work, okay? Yeah. You don't understand. If you're on the left, you can say things and get away with it. That's the way it works, okay? That's the way it works. That's the way it always works in the media. So they sue, by the way, in Delaware, I guess because Delaware is always a great place to have something going on with suing people. I don't know. Maybe Biden helped rig it when he was there. I don't know. But the lawsuit against One America News names their executive honchos and two reporters as defendants. Now, Newsmax apparently issued a statement apologizing at the time to Dominion people who had sued Newsmax earlier. There was an employee from Dominion that apparently sued on his own, and they apologized to him. One American News Network previously said in a disclaimer that it does not endorse any opinions about Dominion representatives. But, come on, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we knew this suit was coming, and it'll be interesting to see what Andrew has to say about the suit. Now, you know, this is a time, if you know something, bring it out. You know something about what the election was doing, where the fraud was, and if Dominion was involved in fraud, bring it out because you're in court. Show everybody. Don't say, well, we just report the news and we happen to report what other people think. Well, apparently you are reporting only one side of the news and what one side thinks when it comes to this. Anyway, these are the latest in a series of defamation lawsuits by Dominion. I think they went after Fox at one time. Let's see here. Dominion had already filed four other suits seeking billions against Fox News. Yeah, you mentioned them. Rudy Giuliani. Yeah, Rudy Giuliani. And MyPillow chief executive Mike Lindell. Also pro-Trump attorney Sidney Powell. Now, Fox has moved to dismiss the lawsuit, saying that its coverage of the claims about election fraud was newsworthy and that they're protected by the First Amendment. So we'll see where all of that goes. Anyway, very interesting. Wait till we talk about Oregon and what's going on with the dropping all of these requirements in class. You don't look, from now on, if you graduate from our high school here in Oregon, you don't need to be able to read. If you can't read, we certainly are not going to force you to write.
Well, they can tie their shoes.
I suppose that if you can tie your one of your two shoes will allow you a diploma.
The final exam.
Yeah. Isn't that the screwiest thing? Anyway, let's take our break. We're going to change gears a little bit. Wai Fang Zong is going to join us. We're going to talk about what he calls the woeful unpreparedness of our federal agencies against cyber attacks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday here at Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us. And we are delighted to have back Weifeng Zhang. He's a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center, which is in George Mason University. And we're going to talk with him about something that's kind of scary. The lack or the unpreparedness of our federal agencies to defend themselves against cyber attacks. Weifeng, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
It's always our pleasure. This is a scary scenario. We got all this, you know, concern going on right now about, obviously, about the virus and crime in our country and everything else. In the meantime, these cyber attacks, which have been coming from apparently from overseas, whether they're criminal agencies that are directly connected to the governments of China and Russia and others, or if they are independent or not. But you are saying, according to a Senate report that was released, I think, last week, that many of our federal agencies, for some reason, are not locking down on this stuff. What's going on?
That's a great question, because this is a chronic, serious problem. Because the number I can give you is that back in 2010, which is over a decade ago, the government agency, GAO, Government Accountability Office, they actually checked all the cybersecurity or how good they are, how good it is in various federal agencies. And the GAO actually lists out over 3,000 to-dos for these agencies to fix in terms of enhancing their cybersecurity. Now, 10 years later, among the over 3,000 items, there are only more than more than 700 that are still not fixed. So this is a problem that has been long known among the government agencies and even including the American public. And agencies are just so slow in fixing them. And with the threat now coming from Russia and not only Russia but also China, increasing day by day, this is becoming a more and more serious problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's mentioned that agencies, including like the Department of Homeland Security, of all things, and the State Department, my God, maybe the most important agency we have, accused of using outdated stuff.
Yes, and there's one number that came out was that it turns out that the Department of State cannot list all the people or account holders who have access to classified information.
Really?
So there are more people who have access to the classified information than the State Department can name. So that's also a problem, because you don't know who else you can't name who have access to the information.
We are really, I mean, the more you know about our federal government, the more cynical you become, or the more worried you become as well. It's like they don't know what's going on. They're just too big to operate efficiently at all. And every, you know, it seems like things like this just continue to prove the case that we have totally grown our government to the point of its inability to move or to function. But so are we? They're aware of it. You would think they would have all the money in the world. We print money, for God's sake. Why? You know, I mean, don't they have enough money to fix this stuff?
Presumably, they should. They should have all the resources they need. So I think I see two problems here. What you pointed out, government getting bigger, is certainly a concern. But another concern was that there's a lack of coordination because there are so many agencies, and sometimes they don't get their act together, you know?
Yeah.
In the sense that because cyber attacks from China, for example, now are increasingly state-sponsored, like supported or sponsored by the Chinese government. And so attacks, if we look at their side, they are very coordinated. But we, no matter how big or how small the federal government is, there's still a lack of coordination. And sometimes, between the federal agencies, there's not enough sharing of information or coordinated actions. So that's another problem, too. And a third concern, I would say, is that there's a lack of talent in the federal government, because when it comes to cyber, a lot of the talent, they are not paid enough in the government relative to in the private sector. And so it has been a struggle for federal agencies to hire cyber talent at a market competitive rate, so to speak.
Yeah, if we're wasting, some people would say we're wasting trillions of dollars, how come we can't afford to pay for the best when it comes to working in our, in our cybersecurity? Now, you mentioned China. And here we are, we're doing business with China, and the virus comes out of China, and all of these things are going on, and China is, attacking our security systems. I don't know. What will it take for us to do something desperate or, against China? What is it going to take?
That's a very tough question. I think we are, in fact, at a crossroads, in the sense that we, in terms of economic engagement and cultural exchange with China, we are sort of in quite deep after 20 years, especially since China joined the WTO. So now the Chinese and American economies are so integrated now,
mm-hmm.
and there are many opportunities for the Chinese government to exert influence or, initiate all sorts of including cyber.
We're in bed with them. That's what it is. We're in bed with them. Like you say, we're intertwined. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. There's upside of being in bed, because the U.S. economy did have benefited a lot from China being integrated into the global economy. So we should not dismiss that so easily. The problem is that what I see is that we have not been engaging with China in a way that's safe from cybersecurity purposes or from national security more broadly. So the problem I see is not that we did engage with China. It's just we did engage with China in a way that sort of in some ways compromises our national
right.
security.
You have to use trust whenever you're involved with a country or a human being. Trust has to be there. Trust has to be there. Now, we don't trust each other. And there's good reason why we don't trust each other. And yet we are, going along. It's like walking through a grenade field. We're talking with Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University in Virginia. And we're talking about something that should really concern us. And that is the attack on our government computer systems, cyber attacks. You mentioned, Weifeng, China. I suspect we're getting them from Russia and other countries as well.
Yes, but Russian hacks have long been arguably the biggest problem for the U.S. But in recent years, increasingly so, it's more from China, and that's because for the last decade or so, China has been institutionalizing some of these bad practices that we have seen in the past, including cyber attacks or cyber espionage, and the lack of protection on intellectual property. These bad policies or bad behavior, they were more or less passively allowed in the past, but nowadays they are sort of becoming part of the industrial strategy for the Chinese economy, because China has been retreating from the pro-market reforms that we have seen in the 90s and the 80s, but more and more so, even including the private sector, now it's under more direct control or influence, at least by the Chinese government. So that's why I think the vulnerability in terms of cybersecurity in federal agencies is a problem, because the attackers are highly coordinated, sponsored by the state. But in terms of defense on our side, we lack the coordination, we lack the vigilance, and we lack the talent as well. So that's very problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned also our NASA agency and the whole thing about weaponizing space. So they can get, let's say they get into our computer systems at NASA and start picking up information on what we're doing with satellites and the like. And now, you know, this whole thing with, you know, sending and launching satellites into space, and I guess China is doing some of that itself. They are behind us to some extent. But that's a scary scenario, is it not?
It is. So there lies the difference between Russian hacks and Chinese hacks, in my opinion, because the Russian economy lacks the power to threaten the liberal international order led by the U.S., unlike China. For example, you know, we have seen Russian hacks for years now, and the stuff they do basically amounts to like hacking our electoral systems. Not to say that's not serious. That's very serious. But it's not, for example, in the form of stealing secrets from NASA and benefiting the Russian space program and putting Russian astronauts on Mars and threatening the space dominance by the U.S. Mm-hmm. because the Russian economy is just not doing so well. But the Chinese economy is doing quite well, right? It has been impressive for decades now. And China does have the ambition to, including what you mentioned, weaponizing space and turning into, developing anti-missile weapons and turning the space in general as a battlefield. Mm-hmm. And that could actually threaten national security out of, including not only on Earth, but also in outer space. And so that's the problem. And we have known, for example, that China has been stealing, at least China-sponsored cyber attacks have been stealing from NASA for well over 12 years. And NASA still fell in the latest report coming out from Senate. They still fell quite miserably in terms of cybersecurity. And so we have known these problems for a long time, and China has been benefiting from stealing this for a long time, and yet we are not still fixing this issue.
Right. Now, what about us doing it to them? Do we have cyber attacks going on against China and Russia? Now, I know you don't know all that's going on, obviously, but do you think that we have any kind of a sophisticated cyber attack program on those two countries?
I believe we do. I believe the U.S. does. In fact, you know, we need to talk about like what kind of responses that could theoretically be possible, right? To how do we respond to cyber attacks from China? And one option is actually to attack them back. And this is technically feasible. And I assume, based on my reading, that the U.S. has done attacks like this in the past, not necessarily against China, but maybe against other, like against Russians, that's for sure. So that's a part of a possible policy response or options. But it's hard to go that far sometimes, because you do need to justify the economic consequence of that. And so that's why, you know, being economically engaged so much with China makes the trade-off harder to strike, because it's easier to counter cyber attack Russia, because our economic stake with Russia is just not that high. But if we damage the economic relations with China by counter cyber attacking China, that might actually hurt American businesses, American consumers a lot more. So that's the harder balance there.
We've had some attacks from Russia not too terribly long ago, pipeline issues, and then the gas prices, of course, were going up anyway. So people have actually felt apparently some of these attacks in their wallets. You don't hear much from Biden about any of this, you know, the administration. I know that they, you know, espionage, et cetera, and you play it close to the vest. Why don't we come out and take a more aggressive approach? I know Biden seems like a milquetoast to me, but couldn't some of our people in the Defense Department be spokesmen for saying that, you know, we're not going to stand for this kind of thing? I mean, where is our political courage?
I think that to their defense, there are actually efforts, recent efforts, to try to solve this problem on the defense side, including the newly created office, the National Cyber Director, who was very recently confirmed by Senate. And part of the task that office is going to perform is to coordinate efforts between agencies. So along the line that I mentioned before, now how effective that will be, we have to wait and see. But we do know that the lack of coordination between agencies is a problem. So at least we have seen some efforts that try to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually might be the right, in the end, it might be the right way to go, because a good defense is a good defense is an offense, right? Because if you can guard your federal agencies very well, we will be safer, whether or not we continue to economically engage with China and be more susceptible to cyber attacks from China. If we can defend our agencies and protect private information of American citizens, that's actually a big step forward already.
Yeah.
I do see some effort. We'll have to wait and see how effective that effort is, because creating new offices and creating new bureaucracies is not always solving the problem, because they also make the government bigger and bigger. So I have some doubt like you do, but I think it's an effort that we need to wait and see. Maybe it would work.
Well, for sure, security is one of our most important functions, our federal important functions. I mean, it's right up there. It's in the Constitution. We protect our borders. So, Wai-Fang, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on and sharing this information. And I know we'll talk again.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul.
Our pleasure. All right, Wai-Fang Zhang, Mercatus Center. Going to take our break. When we come back, let's talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about this Dominion voting machine company suing One America News, a network close to Andrew's heart, along with Newsmax.
I remember when Rock was young, me and Susie had so much fun, holding hands and skimming stone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday, Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. And, in all this talk about virus and crime and cybersecurity and the like, the Senate is readying to vote on this infrastructure bill today. It looks like the Senate has got enough Republicans to slide over so they will be able to get the 67 votes and therefore proceed to a full vote on this package. However, believe it or not, it's the House that may hold things up. Our dear friend Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, said that they will not vote on the bill unless the $3.5 trillion human infrastructure package also passes the Senate. That's the non-infrastructure that Democrats call infrastructure. What do Democrats call infrastructure that Republicans call non-infrastructure? Democrats call what Republicans call non-infrastructure anything else as infrastructure, okay? So I don't know where all of this is going, but when you're talking trillions, my eyes glaze over. All right. We got Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, I know you're a devotee of One America News. Did you hear about Dominion filing that suit today against Newsmax and One America News?
They've been filing suits against everybody, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, actually. Quite a few.
Giuliani, Fox News,
yes.
This news, that news. You know what? They messed up. They're trying to clear their name, but it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I'm wondering about all of that. Now, they also sued our buddy, Mike, the pillow guy, Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell, they're suing everybody. I'm surprised they haven't sued me.
Yes. Well, wait your turn. So, now, Newsmax and Dominion basically say, well, we're just reporting the news. And Fox, earlier, when they were approached about a suit, said, well, you know, this is a First Amendment issue, and we can talk about it. Now, Fox is not as, let's be honest, they're not as far-right conservative as Newsmax and One America News is. So do you think it's a good thing? In other words, do you think by going to court that more information about all of this potential voting fraud will come out?
I think it's all going to come out, Paul, and this is just going to help it come out.
Yeah.
If it ever goes anywhere. I mean, they've been suing for how long now? I haven't heard anything about any cases.
Well, these are the latest in the series filed by Dominion. Let's see here. They accused media outlets and prominent supporters of Trump of spreading falsehoods that they rigged their vote. Basically, they're saying, we didn't rig the voting. We didn't rig the voting, and you can't show us, you can't prove that we did rig the voting, right?
Well, this is what they're saying.
Right.
But I think they're a little bit nervous because I think something's coming out here eventually.
Well, there's always something coming out here eventually. I always wait for the...
I'm waiting, too. I'm waiting, too.
We're all waiting. I mean, it's always just around the corner. It's like the Durham Report. About 2 years ago, I heard that the Durham Report was imminent. Remember that?
One thing I've learned about this country, Paul, is everything is around the corner.
Yes.
You know what?
You're right.
We're getting nothing done but sinking the ship, buddy.
Yeah.
We're getting absolutely nothing done with this administration.
No.
Inflation, division, and bringing the country down.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's happening.
What time did they wake Biden up? I guess he'll be woken up at sea. It's almost 11 a.m. I guess to give him another half hour sleeping. Then he's up until about 3 o'clock. But he's not doing anything the last couple of days. Kind of hiding. You'd think that he would be a little more active on some of these fronts. What do you think about what's going on with DeSantis? They really are going after Ron DeSantis.
Oh, they're going after him, Paul. And it's like I told you. Ron DeSantis put his career on the line. Period.
He has, hasn't he?
He is fighting the present administration in Washington by himself.
By himself? Well, the governor of Texas is in there with him.
Right, the two of them, okay?
Greg Abbott. They're,
now, either Ron DeSantis is going to prove that they're a bunch of fools and nothing is going to happen here. Like I say, hey, we're going to get sick. You might get the bug. But I want to know the people that are dropping dead. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, nobody drops dead over here. I mean, we got to bring back heart attacks, cancer, and everything else to find an equal playing ground here. But people don't start dropping like flies. This is proving the whole Biden administration is full of crap, right?
Now, you know, there's this guy, Acosta, Jim Acosta. You've heard of his name, the guy on CNN?
Yeah, he's a moron. I know who he is.
You know who he is. He's trying to name this latest variant of
DeSantis virus.
DeSantis virus.
Yeah.
That's not going to go anywhere. DeSantis is just saying we're going to allow parents to make a choice for their kids in grade school whether or not they're going to wear a mask. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Paranoid, Paul. Everybody is. Listen, if you're afraid of it, wear your mask. If not, don't wear it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you should have the right to wear a mask.
Everybody but yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, I want to see the death toll. If there's no death toll, Ron DeSantis is 100% right. The Biden administration is 100% wrong.
Yeah.
There is no in between.
Yeah. Well, he's...
And you know what? My money right now. Matter of fact, we should call Las Vegas. I'm quite sure you could probably put a bet on that.
Yeah, I wonder how they...
We should put a bet on it and see what Las Vegas is saying.
And what would the bet exactly have to be, whether or not...
Either Ron is right and the people aren't dropping, or the Biden administration is right. It's that simple.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm going with Ron. You know, the guy uses scientific facts, and the Biden administration uses Fauci facts.
Yes.
The Fauci facts don't seem to be working. We're talking about a guy that's full of crap.
Yeah, the guy is changing his opinion.
Flip-flops more than Charlie.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy's connected to the Wuhan laboratory. We should
this
have realized. You're never going to get a straight answer from him.
We're not going to get a straight answer from the Biden administration for anything.
Yeah.
For nothing. And the people better face the facts to it.
Now, I know you don't know all the insides, although you are very well acquainted with the Biden family. But I wonder what Ron DeSantis is, not the Biden family, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the DeSantis family, which you are acquainted with. I wonder what Ron DeSantis is thinking right now about whether or not to become a presidential candidate in 24. I mean, really, he's got to be thinking one way or the other about stuff like that. I just wonder
I could tell you right now, he is concentrating on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The governorship in 2022.
Right.
That's what he's concentrating on, nothing else.
Right. He'll be up for re-election, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. I don't think there's any problem there. Right.
Bean that keeps opening her mouth.
Who?
The Commissioner of Agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
She's done nothing since she's been in office except screw up pistol permits.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's over there giving her opinion on everything. Since when does the Commissioner of Agriculture give her opinion on everything?
She doesn't have any chance.
I didn't know it was an important job.
I would think Charlie Crist and his name recognition on the Democratic side is going to be the candidate running against Ron DeSantis. Charlie Crist has got a lot of baggage, and the media covers for him, of course.
Yeah, more baggage than Southwest Airlines.
Yes. So And people just don't buy what he's selling anyway because they've seen him turn. Anybody that's been around Florida for a while knows that the guy just...
Well, listen, you got your straight Democrats and you got your straight Republicans. From what I'm seeing, this is how things are going. Even with these mask mandate votes, 48% no or yes and 52% no.
Mm-hmm.
It's so close no matter how you look at it.
Yeah.
People need to forget about their political parties and think about America, the country.
Yeah.
They want socialism, they're going to get it. They're implementing it every day.
Yeah.
What do you think about their $3.2 trillion stimulus or infrastructure package? You know that they're allowing $2.5 billion for a legal immigrant reception center.
It's crazy. I mean, nobody reads all the bill anyway. They're all voting. It's just like Pelosi said, we're going to have to pass it before we understand what's in it.
Let's say 2,800 pages?
Yeah. Hey,
they're passing, Paul. They don't even know what they're passing. The only thing they know they're passing is they're digging a grave for the country.
Yeah.
Economically.
I have a very important topic to talk with you about. Ed needs a haircut. And
good. Tell him I need the money.
Ed, he wants you to come over. He needs the money so that you can come over and get your haircut. Now, I got to come over and get my hair. I got to come over and get my haircut.
Stop by after the show today.
Oh, okay. I will. Yeah, I forgot. Maybe I can. Can I come in for the extra haircut, or do I?
You can do both.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ed, what do you think?
I'll probably be in Thursday.
Okay. He'll be in Thursday, and I'll be in today. That's fair.
Oh, and I got some news for you, too. Poor Angelo was disappointed. He forgot about the show yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's all right. He can come on anytime.
Are you ready for this one?
What?
the one girl that's going public that's blaming Cuomo for something.
Yeah.
I guess she's related to one of his relatives on the other side of the family.
Really?
That's a rumor.
Angelo, we're talking your brother.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Related by marriage.
Family, yeah. Something like that.
Ha.
But you know what I think about that whole situation. I think these are all Democrat women talking Democrat stories.
You are actually a little... You're a little protective of Cuomo.
In there.
Yeah,
I'm protective. I'm just... I think they should have gone after him for the 15,000
right.
people that died. Not for the women that are talking their balonies.
Yeah. I agree with
11
you.
11 women that want one woman to be the governor. One's going to lie. The other one's going to swear to it. I mean, I've seen it 100 times. I've seen it happen.
I think even your brother will now admit that it doesn't look good for Cuomo lasting. What do you think? You think he's going to be gone before the month of October?
You know, Paul, look what Cleopatra did to Caesar.
Yeah.
A woman could bring down a man nowadays. Very simple.
Yeah.
Gave them the tools to do it.
No, you're right. There is nothing worse than a woman scorned. There is nothing worse than a woman scorned. She shall have her revenge.
Huh? All you got to do is want to have a plan put into effect.
Yeah.
And they'll see it through, believe me.
Yeah. But I guess we're not going to shed too many tears for Cuomo, correct?
No, I'm not going to shed tears, but I'd like to see him get nailed for what he did. Not for what he supposedly did and this and that. To me, that's a bunch of baloney.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like, what do you call it? You get your comeuppance in another way. So this is he's getting payback for the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
This is true.
Yeah. All right, my friend.
I think the women will ruin them more than the 15,000 deaths, believe me.
Yes, I guess you're right. It is always a pleasure, Andrew. I will be over a little bit later, and look forward to talking with you on the radio again on Friday.
You got it, buddy. See you in a bit.
All right. There he goes. I'll get over there, and I'll keep the seat warm for you, Ed. All right, let us take our final break. When we come back, I'd almost do a campus quackery, but this is the entire state with Oregon. We're going to talk a little bit about that nonsense.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you cannot listen to us live, and we hope you can always go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on our podcast button, because Big Ed, bless his heart, sets all of our shows on podcast. You go up there, click on the button, you'll see the latest show first, you'll see who the guest is, you'll see what the top 10 is. You can listen at your leisure to our show, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, before we get to this thing on Oregon, My I always feel so bad about my former city, Chicago. More than two dozen Chicago police officers reportedly turned their back on Mayor Lori Lightfoot, on Saturday at the hospital, where an officer remains in critical condition. The other officer was killed. Chicago police officer Ella French, she was only 29 years old, by the way. God, it makes you sad. She was shot and killed during a traffic stop Saturday night. I think they got two people that were involved in that now. So, but the Chicago Police Department is turning, literally, when Lori Lightfoot came into the hospital to go and get a, I guess, talk with the surviving cop, get a photo op, the police there turned their back on her physically. Remember,
good for them.
Yeah. Remember they did that to the Mayor de Blasio, the New York police?
Oh, I didn't see that, no.
They did. A year or so ago, they literally, he was making a speech. I think it was at the podium. And they turned their backs on the New York Police Department. Mm. So she's getting Lightfoot. Well, she's a lightweight.
She prefers Beetlejuice anyway.
Beetlejuice. One of the people at the outlet said that it looked like the whole police thing of turning their back had been choreographed. Okay, enough about that. Now, on to Oregon. Governor Kate Brown, the Oregon Democrat, signed a bill last month with very little fanfare. In fact, most of us didn't know about it. That drops the requirement that high school students prove proficient in reading, writing, and mathematics before graduating. The newspaper there, the Oregonian, said that the governor has seemed to avoid discussing this Senate bill. Her move to sign the bill was, quote, not public until recently because her office did not hold a signing ceremony. Well, let's have a nice signing ceremony.
Yeah.
We'll bring one of the high school graduates up and he can read the proclamation. Of course, he can't read.
No.
Let's see here.
Shoes are probably on the wrong feet.
This is crazy.
I mean, what's left?
I don't know what's left. If you can just graduate, in other words, show up. Show up, and get your diploma.
Yeah, for good attendance.
This is you can't write anymore. You can't read. Writing has gone the way of the dodo bird anyway because of the computer.
You know, if you turn it around, this could open up a lawsuit from a parent whose kid graduated from high school without being able to read or write.
Exactly right.
And then find out why they did that. They just did that to get them out of the system.
Yeah, you're right about that. Years ago, I don't know if you'd remember this, Ed, but there was a kid from Creighton University that was a basketball star. He sued Creighton because they never gave him a proper education after he got out of school.
You know, there was an NFL player that did that too. Went through 4 years of college and could not read.
Yeah.
Oh, could not read. Yeah. Remember Dexter Manley of the Washington Redskins?
Yes, I do.
He could not read.
He was an outspoken guy. He had a rather bubbly personality.
He got in trouble with cocaine, too.
Yeah,
but he would sit in the locker room with the newspaper, and nobody even knew. He was just looking at the pictures.
Wow.
You know, but he could not read a lick.
Yeah. So if I were living in Oregon, or if I was a business person in Oregon, I would make plans to get the hell out of the state. Because I would not want people that could possibly work for me that couldn't read or write or do mathematics. Anyway, end of that. Before we get to our top 10, which is a good one, by the way, is there any news on... we're getting closer to the first exhibition game for the Bucks. That's coming this weekend. Are the Rays still doing fairly well despite all their pitching problems?
Yeah, and very quickly on the Bucks' first preseason game is going to be here at 7:30 on Saturday. But there is a tropical storm that could be in our midst the next morning.
Really?
So look for that probably to be moved to Friday night.
The game?
Yeah, probably. I would say because they have it in our area 2 a.m. Sunday. So. You don't really
want it. Wow. Well, today's only Tuesday, and they're already predicting that they know when this thing will come to us.
The cone is in our area. They'll make the call in the next day or so.
And they'll just
bump it up a day, probably. They haven't done it yet. And the Rays are in first place in the AL.
Yeah.
American League.
Can't get better here in sports. All right, time for our top 10. Got to move quickly on it. These are the top 10 best board games of all time. And believe it or not, better homes and gardens. Here we go, number 10. Ed had to get over to the drums. Chess. Well, we know what chess is.
Yeah.
It's a big board game. It's been around for 1,500 years. Number 9. Axis and Allies. Strategy board game. You know, the Axis and Allies were the two different powers in World War II.
Okay.
All right. Number 8. Stratego. You remember the game? That's an old game.
No.
It's like a Napoleonic version of Capture the Flag, you know, the outdoor game. Number 7. Risk.
Risk. That sounds familiar.
You remember Risk? Yeah. That's an old-time board game. Rule the world. The end goal is for one player to conquer all 42 territories in the world and eliminate other players along the way. Okay. Number 6. Battleship. You know, these things would be politically incorrect these days, okay? Because these are kind of boys' games, aren't they, more than anything else? You know, arrange your ships on a lettered and numbered grid and then try to locate and destroy the opponent's fleet.
Well, you could have an 8-year-old girl want to sink a battleship.
I think so, yeah. Number 5. Oh, everybody played this game at one time or another. Scrabble. I loved Scrabble. My dad loved Scrabble. And it's a beloved word game. Everybody knows how to play Scrabble. And by the way, it increases. We ought to send Scrabble games to the kids in Oregon.
Well, they couldn't figure it out.
All right, number 4. Now, I would have thought this might have been number 1 at Monopoly.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. Yeah. And, you know, Monopoly's really been updated. They have electronic now. You don't use money. You use a credit card.
And, you know, the woke thing got into Monopoly as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You remember there was the old guy?
Yeah.
They had to change things around a little bit. Yeah. Number 3. And don't ask me why, all right? Candyland.
Well, that was a classic kids game.
It was a classic kids game. I never played it, but features landmarks like a candy cane forest and gumdrop mountains, and it all makes me sick. That's what it makes me. All right, number 2. Now, this one I played also, and it was a fun game, Clue. Did you ever play Clue?
Yeah.
Mr. Mustard in the conservatory with the lead pipe.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah.
It was a fun game. They even made a movie out of it. Yeah. Okay, Ed.
Well, I thought it was going to be Monopoly.
Yeah, I would
really
have thought
did.
So, too.
So I have
it's
no
a tough
idea
one.
Now.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm sure I'll know it when you say it.
I think you might. The Game of Life?
Okay.
Yeah. Remember Life? I think I played
that
game.
Yeah, but I would put Monopoly ahead of that.
I would have, too. I would have put chess ahead of it.
Yeah.
The Game of Life.
Chess isn't for everybody.
No, it's not.
You know, that's a thinking game, you know?
Yeah, it is a thinking game.
So I really wouldn't.
And if you got chess in there, then I would think about, like, checkers and backgammon should have been considered.
No, I never did backgammon.
Oh, I love backgammon. Yeah. We played it for a long time. I enjoyed it. That was a fun game. Anyway, the Game of Life, college, marriage, kids, insurance, and all of that. You get a little taste of it. As you make your way around the board, you know. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. Do not forget that Patsy is up, coming up right after the news. Joy on Paper, actually, hosted by Patsy with a Z. So listen to her right after the news. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.